Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Community Ministry, where your host is none other than Pastor Robo Seer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated that you all have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic that everyone can participate in, and we will have two guests that will come on today also. I want to thank everyone. The switchboard is lit up. Praise the Lord. And if you know of anyone that would like to come on the line, just give them this phone number. This is the call-in number, area code 646-716-4389. That number, again, is 646-716-4389. Well, today, before we start our broadcast, let's have a few moments of prayer. Well, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the broadcast, dear Heavenly Father, that we are about to partake of, dear Heavenly Father. Let it be pleasing to you, dear Heavenly Father. Move each one of us out the way, and let the Holy Spirit come and dwell within us. Let us say what you would have us to say, not we ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. And I thank you for everyone that have come on the line today. Bless their homes covered with the blood of Jesus. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today we're going to talk about five-finger prayer for everyone. I know you're saying five-finger prayer. Just think about it. Look at your hands in front of you right now. And each one of your hands represents prayer, and we're going to break it down for you today. You know, prayer is a conversation with God. It's not a formula. Yet sometimes we might need to use a method to freshen up our prayer time. I recently came across these five prayer fingers to use as a guide when praying for others. First of all, confess your faults one to another. And second, pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him or her up. And you know, as I was going through the scriptures, I went to James, the 5th chapter, and started at the 13th verse. And the word of God said, is it any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is it any merry, let him sing songs. And verse 14 says, is it any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. You say, they say elders of the church. And let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. That's where the oil come in. It's from scriptures that you anoint him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. That you're believing for their healing and they're believing for their healing. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him or her up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him or her. You know, as I was going through this, this is one of them. We're going to start with the fingers. And as I go, just look at your hand and go with your fingers. When you fold your hands, the thumb is nearest to you. Am I right? So begin by praying for those closest to you, your loved ones. And you can go to Philippians if you have your Bible. And it's in your Bible if you have not tore your pages out. And I'm just going to go over and read a few scriptures for those that do not have their Bibles handy. We're going to read a few and see for yourself what the Lord is saying to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those scriptures are going to be Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. And if you have them, just keep your hand on it, because we surely are going to read what thus saith the Lord. Let me turn back to my pages because I'll turn a little bit too fast on my end, and I want you to get this morning. Philippians 1 and verses 3 through 5, And the word of God says, Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippian, with the bishop and deacon, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine, for you are making requests with joy. Verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day up until now. That's your thumb. Okay, let's go to the index finger. The index finger is the pointy. You know, you use that, you're always pulling that thing out to point. Pray for those who have teach, Bible teachers and preachers, and those who teach children. And you'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:25. And if you want to turn over that, feel free. I'm going to give you some of it because we have two guests going to come on. And I want to give them ample time to give some things concerning prayers with testimonies that you will hear, that you will understand what I'm saying. But I'm giving you the scripture so you can go back and read them for yourself. The next finger is the tallest finger. It reminds you to pray for those in authority over you, national and local leaders, and your supervisors at work, for those that's working. You'll find that in 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 2. And then when you go to your fourth finger, it's usually the weakest finger. Pray for those who are in trouble or who are suffering. You'll find that in James 5:13-16, and I read that one to you earlier. And then you go to your little finger, excuse me, and your little finger, it reminds you of your smallestness in relation to God's greatness. Ask him to supply your needs. That's the little finger. And it's coming from Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 6th through the 19th verse. You know, whatever method you use, just talk with your Father. He wants to hear what's on your heart. So next time you're praying, raise up your fingers. We have the thumb, which is closest to your loved ones. We have the index finger, which is the pointer. And the next finger is the tallest. When you look at your hand, you have one, excuse me, one finger in the center of your hand, which is the tallest. And it reminds you to pray for those in authority over you. My, 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 my. Then the fourth finger is usually the weaker. You know, when you're holding that finger up, you find all of the fingers come up and you got to hold it down to try to hold up the fourth finger. And that's to pray for those who are in trouble or who are suffering. Then you come to your little bitty finger, your little pinky finger. It reminds you of your smallness in relation to God's greatness. And you'll find that in Philippians 4:6-19. And I know it's rather lengthy on it, so I'm just going to let you have those scriptures. But I'll read a few for you on Philippians 4:6. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's telling you, you have to make your request to God. And the peace of God, which is passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. And you can read it all the way down to the 19th verse, but I was just giving you a few scriptures letting you know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray, bring every prayer request to him. So today I put five-finger prayer for everyone that can do this. And at this time, if there is anyone on the line that would like to say something, hit one on your keypad, and I'll bring you in because we have guests that's on the line waiting. And I'm going to relinquish my stand for a few minutes and let the two guests that's on, and all they have to do is hit one on their keypad, and I will gladly bring them in. Praise the Lord. We have our first guest that's coming on, and I'm fixing to bring her on. You are now live.
Well, hello, Pastor Sadie.
Good
this
morning.
Is family. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. And
good morning. Good morning to everyone out there in Radio Land. It's a blessing to be on with you again. I missed last week, and maybe the past 2 weeks. I can't even remember. I've been so busy here lately. But, you know, the Lord is real. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. And I really thank God that I'm in the land of the living. But today I did bring my niece. I called her this morning to see if she would come on. The Lord gave me the title of affliction. And when we're having any kind of affliction, what do? Pray. So prayer is very, very important. Before I really introduce her, I'm going to read the scripture here in Psalms 34, 17 and 19. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And we know that that's true. And sometimes we may not get delivered the way we feel we should, but God is always there. And he does deliver. Why? Because the Bible says. But I thank you, Pastor Sadie, for allowing us this time. And now I would like to introduce to you guys my niece, Risha Epps, and I've forgotten her married name. That's a shame, huh? But she's always an Epps. But I think Risha's on the line. Are you there, Risha?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Praise God.
She's saved, and I tell you, you talk about on fire for the Lord. Thank God for that. So she has been through a lot, but the Lord has delivered her. So right now I'd like to introduce to you my niece and my friend in Christ, Risha Epps.
Hello, saints. How's everybody doing today? I'm glad to be online. The Lord is so good and so wonderful and so just full of greatness and mercy. I could never repay him for all that he's done for me. I want to just start off. There's so many things that have happened in my life, praise be to God, but I'm still here and I'm standing. But one thing in particular happened not too long ago. Well, there's several things. We start at the beginning. I had a brain tumor removed, and thank the Lord, I was healed from that. And I would have to get iron infusions this particular day. So I've been getting iron infusions on and off for about 8 years now. I went, drove myself to the hospital, got my normal iron infusion as usual, and had an adverse reaction. Ended up in ICU on life support for 4 days. And there's not much I remember about that. I remember my son was 19. He had to come home from school just to run through that real quick. I was staying with my mom because I had gotten sick. We had been evicted out of, me and my three children had been evicted out of our apartment that we were in. And that happened. I was trying to work to try to build up some kind of income so that we could move. Mm-hmm. And during this time, the situation between my mom and my sister and I got really bad. Believe it or not, it got bad while I was in ICU. They didn't even come visit me. And I got out, and I just remember praying to the Lord, like, thank you for allowing me another chance. There's a chunk out of my life that I do not remember. But what I do remember is praying to the Lord, if you give me the opportunity to get up, I will not stop singing the praises of your name and what you've done for me.
Amen.
Got out of the hospital. 6 days later, my mom put me and my three children out of her house. We were homeless for 2 months. But here's the glory in that. I go to church. It's church anniversary. I go to church that Sunday. A good friend of mine is there, and I walk in, and I'm feeling down, and I've been crying, not because I didn't think the Lord was moving on my behalf, but because in my flesh, I felt like a failure as a parent. Here I am sick still, can barely move. I'm just coming off of being intubated, so my speech and my speaking is not very clear. My thoughts are still foggy, and I have me and my three children in a hotel room, and I'm trying to figure out, Lord, what am I going to do next? I felt like a failure as a parent. I go to church, and the first thing she says is, oh, my God, you have this glow. You look so pretty. And I said, really, because we're homeless. And a mouth dropped. And she was like, really? And I said, but don't cry for me. Because I know that I'm covered. Because people say all the time that you don't look like what you go through. But when you're covered by God, when the anointing is on your life and the blood of Jesus is covering you, you walk in a different kind of light. The S-O-N shines on you and people can't see your affliction. And that happens so that you can give God glory. Because that's how you know he's with you. I knew that the Lord was with me, and I fell on my knees, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, not asking him to remove my afflictions, but thanking him for his covering, because although I couldn't see what was happening in the natural, I knew in the supernatural he was moving on my behalf.
Amen.
And so we stayed in that hotel. We did for 2 months. And I had just ran out of money. I had asked money for everybody. Everybody was helping me, the church and friends. And I laid in the bed that Sunday, and it was a Sunday, and I said, Lord, I had made phone calls. I was going to go sleep in my truck. And I found places for my sons to go. And I woke up that morning, and a house that I had looked at that was no longer on the market for renting was back on the market, $200 less than what it was when I first saw it, and available. when I looked at that Monday morning, that was the first thing I saw, and I called my agent, and we are in that particular house today. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise God.
So I encourage you. I don't care what it looks like in your carnal eye. Your spiritual eye should be 20/20 if you're praying, because there's power in prayer. The more we pray to God, the more he talks to us, the more we can tune out all of the noise of the world and tune into his voice. He gives us direction. Your problem is nothing more than your Jericho that you just need to walk around until the walls fall down. The word says that in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and do you no harm.
Right.
If you stand on the word of God for your life, even in your healing, Isaiah 54 talks about there's life and death and the power of the speak life to your situation.
Yeah.
Walk in that thing. We as believers always say what it is, but when rubber meets the road, when it gets hard, sometimes we waver. And let me say this, it's okay because we're human. We need to die to self daily, and it gets hard when you struggle. But I need the believers to remember that Jesus was afflicted himself. in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out, Lord, take this cup from me. Not that he didn't understand what he was going to do and what he was called to do, but it was hard. But he did it anyway. And that flesh is real, and we need to understand that being saved does not keep us from affliction, but it lets us, but we have an answer. There's a word answer to your world problem. If you pray about it and call on the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's power. If you call on the name of the Lord in the midst of your affliction or your adversities, whatever it is, he will hear you and he will answer you. That's his word. And it says, he says in the Bible, his word shall not return to him void, trying. I'm a living, that's just one testimony of mine. And I'm here today to say, I don't smell like the smoke from the fire I've been in. Not because I'm so great, but because I serve a great and awesome God, and he covers me.
Yes. Amen.
That's my testimony.
Wow, Risha. That's just one of them. But
yeah, Risha, that's just one.
Well, and I didn't know she was going through all of that. I don't even know if I was in Texas then or not, but where I was, I've traveled a lot. But when they were growing up, we were talking about this the other day, how I scared them. They were small kids, and I was teaching on Revelation, and I scared them so bad. I think I scared them into getting saved, but. Risha, I said, Risha, you're the one out of my nieces and nephews that, I mean, has really, she's an evangelist from her heart. She's gone through a lot. Some of the things she's told me, I know the Lord is with her. And her house is beautiful that she's living in. But tell them about the time, we were talking about that the other day. It's just how God would show them his power. There were some bad words. Tell them about that story. I don't know who I was in the car with me, but I drove really fast.
I think we were on our way to the mall, I believe it was, and we were in Baytown and past this underpass or overpass, and they had all this, I mean, just any curse word that you could imagine.
Yep.
Written on the wall. And,
yeah.
I mean, and it was huge. Like, it wasn't that you had to look. Like, it was obvious. It was, you could see it from a mile away. It was like, oh, my God. And Aunt Beverly immediately went into prayer and rebuking everything and said, when we come back, that's not going to be there. I rebuke that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So we went on. And we weren't gone that long. It's not like we stayed gone all day. Because when we were with Aunt Beverly, we did a lot of moving around. And we were quick about it. Because we had always had a lot of things to do. So maybe within an hour or so, we came back, and it was gone. Somebody had came to paint it over. Like it was never there.
That's exactly right.
It was gone.
The Lord is awesome. That's why prayer is so important in our lives. And, you know, a lot of people think you have to pray this long prayer, and you don't. Just a few little words. Lord, help me. Save my life one time. Lord, help me. So I didn't do no long praying, and I'm not much on long prayers either.
Right.
And I generally now, you know, pray the Lord's Prayer, and I pray for, we definitely need to pray for our government. Lord, have
mercy.
We have to pray in our families. We have, even though our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews grew up in church, that does not make them saved.
Amen.
Am I right, Risha?
That does not make us saved. No. I was having a conversation the other day, and I would say, you know, there are a lot of believers. I talk. There's a difference to me between being saved and being religious. religious, the root word, so religion, something that you do religiously, something that is a ritual for you. Because you get up every day and do the same thing, that's of the body. That's not of the spirit. Anything that God touches or covers, he changes. It does not look, it's like from Saul to Paul, you change. And you walk in that change. And we, there are so many believers that are just doing religion. You get up and you go to church every Sunday. And this is the thing. And they're ushers and deacons, and they feel like they're doing the right thing. And you pray the same prayer. That's religiously. That's religion. That's a routine that you do. But God is a living God. If what you're doing is not changing you for the better and moving you forward, you're practicing religion. You're not living a saved, sanctified life. You're not being a disciple. You're not in discipleship. God calls us to discipleship. When we accept that he has died for us, and we come into the fold as being saved, we need to then be disciples. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. We have to get into that thing on our own and not be so religious about how we do things. Going to work every day is a religion if you look at it.
Yeah.
I get up, I go Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, I do the same thing. I go to church on Sunday, I sit in the same seat, I sing the same songs, I do the same prayer, I speak. That's religion. That's religion. We need this. God is calling us higher. We need to be saved, and we need to save the unsaved. And you do that more as caught than taught. You need to see me. You need to see my walk. It's not what I say. It's how
exactly
I move.
Right.
It's showing you that I'm covered. So when I give my testimony, and you look at me and you're like, really? Oh, absolutely. Because the God I serve is real. Does that mean I'm perfect? Absolutely not. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and I'm not righteous. I'm made righteous by the blood, but I was not born righteously. I was born into sin and shaped in iniquity. So God allowed his son to come and tear the veil to cover me.
Exactly.
And we need to, as believers, we need to be able to walk in that thing in such a way that people, they don't even know what it is. They just walk up to something different about you.
Yep.
I shouldn't have to run around and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved.
Exactly.
Look at me. The word says that if you lift him up, he draws. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So who does the lifting? We are the hands, the feet, and the mouth. If we lift up God, if we elevate God in our lives, men will come to us.
Yes.
They'll come to us.
Yes.
Exactly. Excuse me. I don't know what. I'm coughing like this. But that is
the
so
enemy
true.
Don't want you to go forth.
Get some water, Aunt Beverly.
Huh?
I say, yeah, get some water, Aunt Beverly.
I'm good. At least that stopped. But Risha is so encouraging to me. And the things she was saying, definitely, it's all the Lord. I said, boy, God is good. So I'm just hoping and praying, because we are definitely in the end times. And it's going to be a lot of, there's a great falling away now of the church, but it's going to be a lot of people that, like Risha was saying, religious people that they talk about the Lord, but their heart is far from him. They will wind up in hell, thinking they're going to heaven. So, you know, we have to do, it takes everything that I have sometimes. Excuse me. It takes everything that I have sometimes to do what I have to do. When I was working a regular job, I would go to that job and be there early, on time. So after I got saved, hey, and I used to have parties at the house, you know, before I got saved with family and stuff. And after I got saved, baby, all that stopped. Liquor went out. I quit listening to the blues, rock and roll. I quit dancing. I quit my boyfriend. I did because I was traumatically saved. It was life altering for me. And so I said, boy, these last days, people's lives are going to be required of them if they say, I am a Christian. Now everybody's a Christian. I mean, you know, doing a little bit of everything. I'm a Christian. But, you know, we can't say who's saved and who's not, but we can, like, make a judgment call on your actions, things that you do. If that doesn't line up with the Word of God, then something ain't right, and it ain't in Denmark. It's right here. So we have to do everything that we can to live a righteous and a holy life. Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So it's only the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous before the Lord. He sees the blood. When he looks at us, I would tell people, don't be looking at me. If you see me, I want you to see Jesus in me. And so, you know, don't be holding me up as anything, because I am nothing. And I have to keep telling myself that. I am nothing. I just love the Lord. You know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Risha Garner, I'm going to get some water.
Okay. I can remember speaking about Aunt Beverly back in the day when we would have parties at a house, and everybody would be, all the kids, and it was eight of them. And so we didn't really have to invite a lot of people. But I can remember as a young girl following Aunt Beverly everywhere she went. Even if there were no kids at a house on the weekend, I was calling Aunt Beverly, can I come to your house? And it would just be she and I. And then once she got saved, it didn't change. I was at revival with her, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, me and my Aunt Beverly. Like, I attribute what I know, my love for God started at a very early age. And I thank Aunt Beverly, because she could have easily said, I don't have time to deal with no children. Every time she moved, I was right there with her. I don't know if she could breathe. I was in a kitchen. I was in a bedroom. Every until she left the state of Texas, I was Aunt Beverly had to come to my house and pull my teeth. My mom and father were divorced. And she would come. And had to come and pull my teeth. Like, it was Aunt Beverly, I was attached at her hip. Like, she was my auntie. I don't know about the other children in the family, but she belonged to me. And so I accredit a lot of my love and zest and zeal for life and God, for God, to her. Because she kept it real with me. She never sugarcoated anything, and not even before we stopped having the parties. Aunt Beverly was the one that held us to a higher standard. Always. I can remember being chastised by Aunt Beverly, and I was, you know, and I would tell them, hey, I ain't getting it, especially after she got saved. We could do something at 9:03, and at 9:10, Aunt Beverly knew exactly what it was, and she was nowhere around. I knew it wasn't nothing but the Holy Spirit. I was going to be the first to tell. I was going to confess and go and get it out the way.
Confession is good for the soul.
Yes, ma'am. And because of that, I raised my children the same way. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to talk about it. And if you're honest with me, that adjusts the way I deal with the situation. Because that's how she was with us. Like, and the Holy Spirit will not let you get away with anything, especially in the midst of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to know. She knew. Mm-hmm. She knew when we went to bed late. She would wake you up in the morning.
Stuff on TV.
TV, we ain't had no business. She said, "Now, I just want to ask you who so and so, so and so, because you know I already know." And my hand would politely go up in there, and I would tell on everybody. But that was there was something about Aunt Beverly that was different, and it was a good difference.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all of the things I've been through with her, the change, she's saying it sounded drastic, but the change was so seamless when she went from having the parties to not having. I can't even remember the time frame. It's like Aunt Beverly, who she is now, is who she's always been. Like,
wow.
Nothing has changed. It was a seamless. It was seamless, but that's because when God ordains a thing, He controls a thing, He fixes it for you.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't
that
miss a
right.
step. Yeah, she didn't miss a step. Nobody. So being saved doesn't mean, oh, I got to do this and I lose all my friends. And God fixes a thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was seamless. I didn't know.
It didn't seem to be that seamless to me.
Right, but see, that's what I'm saying. When you're covered, though, to me, it just seemed like, oh, okay, well, that's how this is going, and okay, well, and it didn't matter. It just flowed, like the anointing of the Father from on high. It just flowed, and we just, at least I did. I followed suit. I can't remember time now in my life where I've not been in church unless I was sick. But other than that, I'm in the house of the Lord, and Aunt Beverly is the reason that being saved at a young age was okay. It wasn't taboo. I didn't feel like I was missing anything or the world had something greater in store for me.
Yeah.
I knew exactly who I was and whose I was, and the teachings that I had received and what I had been shown, I was on the right path.
Wow. I tell you, you know, some people have family members. Yeah, but I think
how it
I was. I love my family, and I love children, but I will make them mine. I would take it. Sometimes might be 12 of them. We'd go to the store, and I would tell them, "Don't beg me." So when we go in here, when I ask you what you want, then you let me know. So I just did my best to show them how to live a saved life. And Risha was the one that caught on. But, you know, it's all due to the Lord, the way I am. I just thank God for Him, you know, being the Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You got to live your life to a higher standard than most people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it may be some people out there, even young people, Risha. We see so many of the young people that's off into hip hop. I don't know all those different things because I don't listen to it, but I was just listening to Craig Lewis talking about hip hop. And, oh, that's right, I bought his tapes one time and was showing you guys about talking about hip-hop. So, and I always want people to be aware of what's going on now. It's a lot of things that people really don't know that's going on out there in the world. And you'll know that Jesus is coming. Signs and wonders, the signs of the time. So you got to be on guard.
That you do.
And watchful.
That you do.
It may be somebody out there, Risha, that's young like you. Wait a minute. Are you middle-aged now?
I'm a young 45. But I will say this. Even that, I think about how you showed me and how I functioned. My children, so my son was in Prairie View, and he would call me. He was up there witnessing to people, and they were calling me to get clarification on things. The way you live is a testament. It is your testament. It is your testimony. And it's just, you don't have to. I think a lot of times people believe that being saved, because you've heard of the harsh judgment that people have gotten when they walked into churches, or when you've encountered people practicing religion, and so what you get the reprimand, but you don't get the love. You don't get the understanding. They don't meet you where you are. Like I always say to people, I can't give you the word of God unless I meet your need. God fed the people food first before he fed them word. He handled the issues that they had so that they could actually have a spiritual listening ear. Mm-hmm. And so we're in a world now, or a time now, where grandmothers are now 30, mothers are 15, and you don't have the grandmothers and the aunts and uncles like I had back in the day that understood what church was, how important it was for you to get word. Yeah, and make you go. And there's just some dynamics that are missing. And so you have to approach, whereas you could tell somebody then about the Lord and they had a reference. Some of these people don't know anything about God, and it's generational missing, generations of knowledge of God missing. It's just not coming from anywhere. And so I think in this season, I keep reminds myself of the scripture, a new commandment I give to you, love each other, love your neighbor as I love you. God is calling us to love. Not that we don't correct people, and a sin is a sin, and abomination is abomination, and we hate the sin, but we love the person. The goal is to get you to the Father.
Exactly.
And I have to do that by showing you who I am in love. And I think what Aunt Beverly did as an aunt, even in her transition, there was never a gap in love. Love was always the thing. Even if we got in trouble, we would have a conversation first. She would explain to us why. It was never because I said so. She was never that kind of aunt. She explained and was always, so we won't do that again. That was usually her end phrase, so you won't do that again. And it was all about getting an understanding. And I think we as believers need to make sure that when we are discipling people, they get an understanding, and they get that understanding through love.
Exactly.
And
that's the key word. The key thing, love. And love somebody that's unlovable. Sometimes you definitely have to pray your way through to that. Love somebody that's despitefully used you and said horrible things about you and did things to you. Sometimes you got to pray to get to that point where you love them with the love of Christ. In our own love, girl, I probably would have, at one time, told them off and went all about my business. But thank God for Jesus and what he did at the cross.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
Rita, it may be somebody out there that, you know, may be going through some of the things you've gone through with illnesses, and you've had some detrimental things to happen to you. But the Lord, but God.
Yes, ma'am.
But God. So maybe you can pray a closing prayer for those people that's out there, and they may have kids. You know, just pray a prayer.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. I don't mind praying.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you as humbly as we know how, with a bowed down head and a lifted up heart, to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing
thank
us
you.
To see another day, Father God, that's full of grace and mercy and your beauty that you bestowed upon this land, Father God. I come right now asking that you touch the hearts of the people who are listening right now, who are going through any type of affliction or shortcoming or just feeling down on themselves for whatever reason, Father God. I know you to be a healer, a provider, a doctor in a sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom, Father God, a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. Father God, you are a friend to the friendless, Father God. You are all that we need whenever we need it. All we have to do is call on you, Father God, and you will show up and show out to us. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for those things, Father God. I ask for those people who are struggling right now with their finances, Father God, that you give them a spiritual blessing. Help them to understand that because they are your children, that you will take care of them and supply their needs. That is what your word says, Father God. And so we stand on your word for our lives today, Father God. For those people who are suffering with afflictions, Father God, like I said earlier in Isaiah 54, there's life and death in the power of the tongue, Father God. So I decree and declare that they are healed, Father God, that you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. They are healed, Father God, regardless to what it may look like in the natural. We understand that you move in the supernatural, and so I'm asking that you move in their favor expeditiously so that they can see the works of your hand and begin to praise your name where they are, Father God. For you are a healer. You are a conqueror, Father God. You can do all things but fail. So, Father God, I'm calling on you for that. For people who are single parents with children, I'm asking you to give them wisdom in this day and this time to ward off the things of the world, to impart the things of your world, of your spiritualness, into their children, into their families, to be what it is that you called them to be in this hour, so that we can move the kingdom forward for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise your
thank
name.
You.
Father God, we just want to say thank you for your covering. I pray a hedge of protection around everybody who is listening. Let the anointing fall upon you right now. May the blood of Jesus cover you, Father God. Let the Father into your life in such a way that he begins to move and shake some things in your life. And what you thought it was, it is no longer the same. Speak those things that are not as though they were, and walk in your victory. It says that his right hand establishes us as victor in this battle, and we are victorious because we are his child. So stand on the word of the Lord for your life. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We are first and not last. Oh, Lord, how we thank you. We magnify you right now. I send praises up to your name, Father God. Thank you for allowing me to petition the heavens on behalf of the people with you today, Father God. Oh, you're so mighty and so gracious, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you. In your matchless name of your son, Jesus, we offer up this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Well, preacher, we really do appreciate you coming on, and Pastor Sadie, thank you so very much for
your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just get with me anytime, and I love to have you on at whenever y'all have free time, because I come on every Wednesday from 10 to whatever time I want to get off. Praise the Lord. And I know, as I was talking about prayer this morning, and when I contacted you, and you told me about Risha, and I want to say, well, you know, I like to hear where people, the lines was lit up today, because everyone needs prayer.
I don't care what they did that. They don't need this and they don't need that, baby. We need prayer in the time that we are living in now. We need prayer like never before. We need to be praying sun up, sun down, all in between, because when you leave your house, you better be prayed up. When you get in your vehicle, you better be praying all the way to where you're going, because the enemy is out there to sift you as we. So we are as intercessors, and those that's praying for others, those that's on jobs, praying for other people, we need to know without a shadow of doubt the things that God have placed in our lives. And I give God praise today for this stigma on prayer and breaking it down to five-finger prayer, what each finger means in prayer. And so I want to thank you all again. I want to thank all my callers that called in today. And if there's anyone else that's left on the line before we leave the line that would like to say anything regarding a prayer, just hit one on your keypad and I'll bring you in on my switchboard here where I am located. But I want to thank God for this program, because this was beneficial.
Amen.
I thank to each person that came to the line.
Amen.
And everyone is talking about prayer in church and conferences, and we need prayer. God will drop things in our spirit. Sometime we wake up praying for people. I have someone that's on would like to speak. Hold on a minute.
Amen.
Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless. I really have enjoyed listening in on this morning. It has really, truly been a blessing to me, because I am an intercessor myself, and I've been working for a ministry now for 19 years, and it's truly been a blessing to be able to pray and to come in agreement, because people don't realize what kind of power and authority that we have. We come into agreement as in Matthew 18 and 19 and 20, we say, well, two of you touch and agree, asking anything by faith that it shall be done. And I'm just learning every day how important prayer is in this time and season, which the time and season that we are living in. Every believer should have a prayer life in this end time season, because there are so many things going on, and it is always something to pray about every day, every hour. You can pray about something different for every hour, because there's so much going on in the world, up in the society as a whole, with our people, and not only even with our family, you know, immediate family, friends, and everyone. You know, it's just so much to pray for in this hour, and how you know that prayer is the key, and how you know that faith will unlock the door. And so once we come into prayer and believe God, I just know anything can happen, because it depends on where our faith lies in. Are we going to trust God totally, or are we going to trust God with our whole heart? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I have really been enjoyed and blessed on today. I mean, prayer is my baby.
Amen.
I'm like, Lord, help me to be a better prayer partner, Father. Help me to be able to listen to people as when we come into agreement in prayer. I mean, what do I need? Once I pray, I believe God. Hey, it is already done. You don't have to wait in a whole 3 or 4 years. Once I pray, hey, I trust God. In a process, sometimes waiting for the manifestation. That is waiting for the manifestation for your prayer to be answered. That was makes our faith even to grow even the more. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
God wanted to get into. He wanted to get us into another place with Him, and then even with that, even with the tests and trials that we have in our life, waiting on Him. Okay, God, what are you trying to show me from the situation? God, what I need to learn from right here? You know what I'm saying? And so this has truly been a blessing to me on this morning, and I have really enjoyed both of the women on today. It has really just been a blessing to me just to hear the testimony. You know, a lot of us all have testimonies. I mean, you know, we always going through a test and something, but even with that, okay, God, what are you trying to show me in this situation? How can I benefit from this situation? Because I tell you, everything is not always of the enemy. Some stuff the devil is doing, some stuff God allowed, because he's trying to get into the... He is trying to get us into another place in Him. Praise God. So,
amen.
You know, I really enjoyed on today. You know, prayer is my baby. So I really enjoyed it on today. It was a good broadcast. It was a good teaching for me on today. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
I want to thank everybody that came on the line today, because when you leave the line, you can just, God will start dropping in your spirit people that you need to pray for, people that have called and asked you for prayer, and that you may not have written their name down at the time. You might have been in the grocery store, might have been at the bank, or could have been on a job. And somebody said, would you please pray for me? They may have told you what they're going through, and they may not. But once you get connected with them and start praying, they'll get back with you and tell you how God answered that prayer, or how God took that situation over, and how he turned that thing around. I just give God the praise this morning for this time to share with other women and men, because they had some men came on the line too today, and I noticed. But we give God the praise and the glory. And y'all just stay tuned for next week, because we're going to have, in Jesus' name, another exciting topic that we'll be bringing on next week. So until you know my little cliche, it's not in the Bible, but I say it. If I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. I want y'all to have a wonderful, a blessed day in the Lord. And until next week, be blessed and keep praying for your family. Keep praying for your coworker. Keep praying for that one that's despitefully misusing you. Pray for them. You don't got to say nothing, but just pray for them. And God, he will hear your prayer. Oh, my God.
Yes,
until next week, y'all be blessed. Love each and every one of you all. Bye-bye.
Bless you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Bye-bye. Bless you guys. Bless you too. Bye.